All right, ready to dive into another fascinating Supreme Court case.
Always. What do you have today?
Get this. Sleeping. A case where they argued sleeping was protected speech.
Sleeping. Okay, you've got my attention.
It's Clark v. Community for Creative Nonviolence. CCNV for short, 1984.
I think I've heard of this one. It's about homelessness, right?
Exactly. CCNV wanted to make a statement, a powerful one, so they decided to set up like a symbolic tent city right in the middle of D.C.
Wow, bold move. Not just anywhere in D.C. either. Lafayette Park and the National Mall, they got permits and everything.
They wanted to be impossible to ignore. But, and here's the catch, the National Park Service had this rule about, well, camping. You couldn't sleep overnight.
Ah, I see where this is going. So the CCMV, they argued this totally messed with their whole message. Like, sleeping in those tents was the core of it.
Yeah, they were saying you can't get the reality of homelessness without actually, you know, experiencing it.
Makes sense. Sleeping out in the elements, that vulnerability, that was the message.
Right. So how far do you go to make a point? Where's that line where the government can step in and say, nope, too far?
And that's what makes these cases so interesting. Like, what are the boundaries of free speech? Can actions, even something like sleeping, count as speech if that's your intention?
So walk me through how this went down. Permits, tents set up. What then? Did they just start sleeping there, knowing the rule?
They did, challenged it head on, and bam, the legal battle begins. District court, court of appeals, and all the way up to the Supreme Court.
The underdog story, taking on the government. So what were the big legal arguments flying around?
Well, at the center of it all was whether this no sleeping rule was breaking the First Amendment, you know, free speech and all that.
Right, right.
CCNV, they said sleeping in the tents, that was expressive conduct. It was directly connected to their message about homelessness.
Expressive conduct, huh? That's lawyer speak for actions that are trying to communicate something, right?
Exactly. Like burning a flag in protest. Not words, but it's got a message.
So CCNV is saying, hey, this is our speech. But what about the Park Service? What was their reasoning for this rule?
Their main argument was about maintaining the parks for everyone, keeping them nice looking, preventing damage, you know?
So balancing the protests with the public's right to enjoy these places.
Right. And their point was that if you let people sleep there, it'd basically become a permanent camp, not what the parks are for.
Okay. Starting to see how this became such a puzzle. Competing rights, can sleeping even be speech? And then the First Amendment gets thrown in. No wonder it went to the Supreme Court.
And to make it even more interesting, there are specific legal tests they use to look at this kind of case. Two big ones, the time, place, and manner restriction test and the O'Brien test.
Okay, hit me with those. I'm guessing these tests are like the court's way of deciding if a rule is actually constitutional or not.
Right on. The time, place, and manner one basically says, yeah, the government can put some limits on free speech, but they got to be content neutral.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning you can't target specific viewpoints. Same rules for everyone, whether you're protesting or celebrating your birthday in the park.
Makes sense. So wasn't the no sleeping rule applied to everyone equally, regardless of why they were there?
They did argue that their rule wasn't about stopping the CCNV's message, but about order in the park. But then the court also has to think, is this rule narrowly tailored?
As in, is it the least disruptive way to get the government's goal accomplished?
Exactly. And is there any other way for folks to get their message across? More ways to express yourself? Maybe the government's got more leeway to restrict stuff in specific places?
Okay, got it. Time, place, and manner down. What about O'Brien? How does that fit into all this?
Well, O'Brien comes in when there's conduct involved. The court has to figure out if that action is also protected speech. So here, was sleeping, in this situation, expressive conduct.
Ah, so it's acknowledging that sometimes actions do speak louder than words, and those might deserve First Amendment protection too. But how do they decide when conduct crosses that line, becomes speech?
The million-dollar question, right? There are a few parts to the O'Brien test. First, is the government rule actually about something else besides stopping speech? Some other goal. Second, does it actually work to meet that goal? And third, is it the least restrictive way, or are there options that don't mess with speech as much?
So they're really looking closely at whether this is just a sneaky way to silence a message the government doesn't like, getting at the real intention behind the rule.
Exactly. And this is where it gets really tricky, because sometimes intent is hard to pin down. Is it about park maintenance, or is it about shutting down a protest they find annoying?
Tough call. And in this case, the whole thing hinges on where does speech end and conduct begin? Setting up tents, that's an action. But sleeping? It's kind of both, isn't it? We need to sleep, but here it was also meant to be symbolic.
Exactly. That's the tendon the Supreme Court had to untangle.
So how'd they rule? Did they buy the argument that sleeping in those tents was First Amendment protected?
Well, you'll have to wait till next time to find out how the highest court in the land decided.
Last time, we were right in the thick of Clark v. CCNV, this case where protesting homelessness. They argued sleeping in their tents. That was protected speech. We went through the whole back and forth, the CCNV and the Park Service, and those legal tests the court used. Time, place, and manner. The O'Brien test. But, clickhanger, how did the court actually decide?
Well, it was a 7-2 decision. Majority sided with the Park Service, upheld the no sleeping rule, said he didn't violate the First Amendment.
So they basically said, yeah, the Park Service can restrict sleeping even if it limits how the CCNV got their point across about homelessness. But 7-2, so there were some who disagreed.
Oh, absolutely. Justice Marshall, huge advocate for civil rights, he wrote a powerful dissent, argued the court missed the whole point, focusing too much on just sleeping itself, not the meaning behind it.
So, like, they got hung up on the conduct part and didn't see the speech that was going on through that action, that sleeping wasn't just about rest, it was symbolic, showing what homelessness is really like.
Exactly. He said they were downplaying how expressive the CCNV's demonstration was, that the court's opinion didn't get the context, the history, the social side of it. Basically, they reduced it to just camping.
Sounds like Justice Marshall was really concerned about protecting protest, even if it stretched what we normally think of as a speech. Like, if we only focus on spoken or written words, we miss all the other ways people express themselves, especially when they're trying to challenge things.
Yeah, and he brought up whether the Park Service had really shown that letting people sleep would cause harm. Was it assumptions, not evidence?
So he's poking at that narrowly tailored part. Did the Park Service prove this rule was the only way, the least restrictive way, to protect those parks?
Right. Maybe there were other ways to deal with their worries about maintenance, looks, without banning sleeping entirely. It's like he was suggesting maybe this wasn't really about the parks, but more about controlling who gets to say what.
That's a strong statement. He was deeply skeptical of the government's motives here.
He was, and it's interesting, even Chief Justice Berger, he agreed with the no sleeping rule in the end, but even he had some things to say about this conduct versus speech thing.
What'd he say? Did he agree sleeping could be speech?
Not quite. He really emphasized the difference between camping and things like picketing, demonstrating. More classic protest stuff, you know. He said, and I'm quoting here, "Camping isn't picketing. It's a use of land that interferes with others."
Okay, so even though he ruled with the majority, he still wanted to make it clear using a park for what it's for versus turning it into a place to live, even temporarily, those are different.
Right. Like, the message is important, but you can't just take over a public space and use it any way you want. Got to be some limits.
So after all that, what are the big takeaways from this whole fight?
Well, one thing's for sure. Clark v. CCNV really made it clear the government, they've got a lot of leeway when it comes to these content-neutral rules in public spaces, even if they bump up against free speech.
So the court's saying we got to balance things, free speech, but also managing public spaces. If the rules are fair, same for everyone, then generally they're okay, even if it affects how people express themselves.
Right, and this case showed how important it is to be crystal clear on the difference between conduct and speech, especially with protests. Court wasn't buying sleeping as inherently expressive. Lawyers, they need to keep that in mind when advising clients who are planning these kinds of things.
I bet that's a tough line to draw sometimes. So much of protest is about actions, not just words or signs.
Absolutely. And the flip side, governments, they got to show real harm to justify any restrictions. Can't just be, we don't like this message, we're shutting it down. Needs to be solid evidence.
This case really shows that tension, you know, in a democracy, individual rights, but also the need for order. How even something as basic as sleeping becomes this battleground for free speech when it's happening in a public place.
It is fascinating, isn't it? And I think for the lawyers, it shows how important it is to get all the ins and outs of First Amendment law. Being able to fight for your client's right to express themselves, even if it's not the usual ways of doing it.
So not just about sleeping in a park, it's about lines in the sand where free speech starts and stops, and how much protest is allowed in a society that values both individual rights and keeping things running smoothly.
And that leads to some interesting questions as we wrap up this deep dive. Questions that go beyond this specific case and hit the core of what it means to live in a free society.
Okay, so we've got through this whole Clark v. CCNV case, and it's clear it's about way more than just, you know, catching some Z's in a park.
Way more. This gets to the heart of it. First Amendment rights, balancing those with what society needs, and that debate, what even is protected speech, that never goes away.
Yeah, and this was back in 84, but it feels so relevant today. Like, we're still figuring out this stuff. Protests, public spaces, how far free expression goes.
Absolutely. Think about Occupy Wall Street or Black Lives Matter. All those recent protests about social justice, same questions pop up. Right to assemble, right to disagree, and how much can the government control that?
Like, Clark v. CCNV gave us this legal roadmap. but we're still driving on it, still figuring out the turns.
That's a good way to put it. And it makes it even more important to understand those tools the government's got to regulate speech, I mean, like time, place, and manner, or the O'Brien test.
Right, but it also shows how important it is to push back when the government goes too far. Can't just assume any rule limiting speech is automatically okay. We got to protect those First Amendment rights, challenge those limits when we need to.
It's interesting, right? The case makes you think about all the different ways we express ourselves and how those ways can be limited, controlled.
Like that saying, I disagree with what you say, but I'll defend your right to say it. Something like that.
Exactly. But it's even more than that. It's defending the right to do stuff, not just say stuff. Actions that have a message, even if they're unusual or people don't like them.
So bigger than just sleeping in a park, it's about where protest is allowed, how powerful symbols can be, and that constant struggle. Individual freedom versus a society that needs some kind of order.
Leaves us with some tough questions to think about as we wrap this up. Things that go past this one case and get to what it means to live in a free society.
Big questions, no easy answers.
Nope. But I think Clark v. CCNV, it gives us a good place to start. Reminds us free speech isn't unlimited, but it's worth fighting for. Even when it looks different than what we expect.
This whole thing, it wasn't just about a park. It was about drawing those lines where free speech starts and ends, the limits of protest, that tension between what individuals can do and keeping society functioning.
And it's a living thing, you know, the law, always changing as we face new situations, new ideas.
And this case shows us that even something as basic as sleeping can be, where we fight those battles over the core ideas of our democracy.
It really can, and it leaves us with one last thing to consider. In a world where everyone's supposed to fit in, where disagreeing is often pushed down, how do we build a society that truly protects everyone's right to speak their mind, express themselves, even when it challenges the way things are?
A question for all of us to think about. And hopefully this deep dive gave us some new ways to approach it.
I hope so too. And hey, next time you see someone sleeping in a park, maybe you'll think twice. Is it just needing rest, or is it a tiny rebellion against the rules?
Now that's an image to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Clark v. CCNV. It's been a fascinating one.